The ever-lengthening story of Oregon teens suing for state action on climate change added another chapter a few days ago. Two Lane County teens are the plaintiffs in a lawsuit seeking moves from the legislature and governor on global warming. A judge ruled against them, and last week the plaintiffs decided to appeal the ruling. We have one of the attorneys involved in the process with us on the phone. Chris Winter is the co-executive director of the Cragg Law Center. Chris, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Tell us in the first place how hard it was to get a hearing in the first place before Judge Karsten Rasmussen.
It was. To get a hearing on the merits, we had to go through one appeal to the Oregon Court of Appeals. So we've been up to the appellate courts already, and that process took about two and a half years. And so I think the girls were very excited to appear before Judge Rasmussen on the merits. That happened earlier this year, and we're equally excited to go to the Court of Appeals.
This is Olivia Chernak and Kelsey Juliana.
That's right.
The plaintiffs in the suit. The ruling did go against them. What is the public trust doctrine that you were trying to make the central focus of the case?
Yeah, the public trust doctrine really has its roots in ancient Roman law. And the basis of the doctrine is that the government, our state government, here in Oregon, has a fundamental responsibility to protect the natural resources that are essential to our survival for the benefit of the people. So the state basically holds those natural resources in trust as a trustee and has a responsibility to uphold the integrity of those natural resources. And so really the argument is whether the kids of today, the younger generations, have any fundamental rights to expect that their government will provide clean air and clean water for them in the future.
Now, the judge did give where the public trust currently exists, at least in current state law, and that appears to to apply specifically to submerged or submersible lands.
Right.
But he was not willing to expand that into including dry lands or the air.
That's right. So he said the public trust doctrine is limited just to submerged and submersible lands, which is kind of a legal term of art for those lands that underlie navigable waters and also our tidelands here in Oregon, which, of course, on the coast are very important. But there's also well-known cases that extend the public trust doctrine to wildlife, and the legislature has recognized that the state has a trust responsibility over surface water as well. And so the judge, in our view, really didn't take a look at those other cases and understand what they meant or distinguish them in deciding the trust doctrine didn't apply to those resources. And so that's one of the issues we'll be presenting.
Well, and it's clear that the judge certainly anticipates an appeal to the ruling because there were many references in the opinion to the possibility of a higher court reviewing the decision. Is that typical, that there are going to be that many references to, well, you know, if this is reviewed, et cetera? I mean, it seemed like a bunch of those in that opinion.
Yeah, it's fairly unusual, and I think this case has an interesting dynamic for a couple of reasons. One, because it's already been up to the Court of Appeals and was sent back in a written opinion, and so I think the judge realizes that the Court of Appeals is very interested in the case. And two, just because the level of public interest, media attention, interest from legal scholars around the state and the legal community in general, I think really had the judge thinking hard about what the higher courts are going to do with his opinion.
Once the opinion came out, how long, if at all, did you folks mull appealing it?
Not long at all. We knew right away that we were going to go to the Court of Appeals, and I think everyone expected that this would happen regardless of who won or lost at the lower courts. This issue is always, I think, going to be resolved by the higher courts here in Oregon.
Were there any particular surprises in the ruling that Judge Rasmussen put out?
Well, you know, I think the biggest surprise, there were two surprises for me, Jeff. One was that the judge really questioned whether the atmosphere was a quote-unquote natural resource at all. And the public trust doctrine applies to essential natural resources that are key to our survival. And the judge questioned whether the atmosphere was a natural resource. And he really posed that question because he said that the atmosphere couldn't be commodified in the way that other natural resources are. And so that really troubled us, that the judge would define a natural resource by whether it could be bought or sold like other natural resources. That was a very surprising take on the issue.
Well, not that the judge pointed out, I'm not saying the atmosphere is not important, I think it was the essence of what he said, too.
Yeah, right. But to hold that the atmosphere, unlike surface water or submerged or submersible lands, is not a natural resource to us just doesn't seem to have a solid foundation in the law. And so I think that will be one of the issues that gets presented to the Court of Appeals. And then the other surprise was really that the judge didn't engage at all with any of the expert materials that we provided to him about the impacts of climate change on Oregon's natural resources, the crisis we're facing. And we had presented testimony from Dr. Phil Moat, who's the director of the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute, Dr. James Hansen, who is obviously very well known for his scientific work on climate change. And the judge didn't even give a nod to any of that material in his opinion. And so that was also, I think, surprising and a little bit disappointing for the plaintiffs.
We were talking about the lawsuit aimed at producing state action on climate change in the state of Oregon, filed on behalf of Olivia Chernig and Kelsey Juliana, teens from Lane County. Our Children's Trust of Oregon pushes the suit. Chris Winter is the co-executive director of the Cragg Law Center and our guest on the exchange. And you can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So what is the case you'll be making an appeal?
So the case on appeal basically is that the girls, the plaintiffs, the youth of today have a fundamental right to clean air and clean water, that we're facing a crisis. That crisis continues to unfold in front of us every single day, and that it's essential for the state as a trustee with responsibility over our natural resources to take meaningful action to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, to uphold its fiduciary obligation over our natural resources. And that's going to be the fundamental question that's presented to the court. And the state will basically be arguing, we can choose to do something if we want to. If the legislature decides to act, we can do something. But if we fail, if we don't take action, and if this climate crisis continues to unfold, there's absolutely nothing that anybody in the public or the courts can do about it through the judicial system. It's basically left up wholly to the discretion of the legislature, and I think we've all seen at this point how our legislative branch is failing us right now.
Kelsey is already an adult. I think she's 19. At some point, will the plaintiffs rotate out? I mean, if this case goes on long enough, can they?
No, I don't think there's any need for Kelsey to rotate out at all. She's been such an inspiring, committed, passionate activist around this issue. She's such a compelling speaker. And, you know, it's still fundamentally, this case is still fundamentally about her future, the future of her peer groups, and the younger generations. And she can still continue to speak for all of those folks.
Now, this is not the only such case. There are other efforts in other courts across the country, correct?
Yes, there have been efforts in other courts across the country and, in fact, other countries around the world. There was a very important case out of Europe in which the plaintiffs won a very, very similar argument that was actually our Children's Trust helped to coordinate that case as well. There was just a victory in Washington where the youth up there won a decision against the Department of Ecology, which had really just kind of pushed aside an administrative rulemaking petition that was based on the same public trust grounds. And so we really feel at this point like the courts are beginning to understand the crisis that's unfolding and the role that they can play in helping to hold the other branches of government accountable. And so we feel like we're at a tipping point where the courts are not going to just sit idly by forever while this crisis continues to get worse and worse. And at some point, judges will decide it's time to step in and help right the ship.
Chris, what are the actions required as the outcome of the Washington case?
So in the Washington case, it was a challenge to an agency's decision not to issue administrative rules in response to a rulemaking petition. And so the court there sent the issue back to the Department of Ecology and said you have to make a new decision based on some new evidence and really have to give this a hard look and provide the youth a reasoned response to their request. And so that's what's going to happen next.
All right, but it has to be a reasoned response. That doesn't necessarily mean, again, that there are going to be any particular hard and fast rules set, are there?
Well, that's a possible outcome. So the court didn't say what the outcome should be. It just said that the agency didn't do a good enough job the first time around and that the agency needs to take a new cut at it. But, you know, the court said you have to consider all of this evidence in doing that, evidence related to climate change, some of Ecology's own reports. And so it becomes more and more difficult for agencies when they're forced to struggle with all of the data, the mountains of data that are building up and all the reports that we're getting. It becomes more and more difficult when courts start saying you have to rationalize your decision against all of this factual and scientific information. for agencies to refuse to take action.
As a person who has not gone to law school, I get the sense of hot potato here, certainly between the courts in Oregon. You know, the appeals court saying, yeah, you got to deal with it, and the trial court saying, no, you got to make me deal with this.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Jeff, and you guys have been following the story very closely, and I think that that's absolutely the dynamic that's taking place, and really that's just an indication of how critical this issue is, how important it is, and really how difficult it is. And we acknowledge it's difficult to get our arms around and to figure out how best to move forward in a productive way. And I think that's what you're seeing unfold in front of the courts, is what is the court's role in this? And nobody has really said in Oregon yet that this isn't a problem. Judge Rasmussen didn't say that. The Court of Appeals certainly didn't say that the first time around. So we know it's a problem. We got to figure out how to fix it.
Now, could the legislature or governor preempt the lawsuit by taking action?
They could if they wanted to. But, of course, there were three bills that died in the legislature this year, again, on greenhouse gas emissions reduction. So we don't see that coming down the pipeline anytime soon.
Okay. Chernag versus Brown appealed to the Oregon Court of Appeals once again. Chris Winter is the co-executive director at the Cragg Law Center, one of the agencies involved in the lawsuit. Chris, thanks for joining us once again.
Well, thank you for having me on the show this morning.
All right. Take care.